Gerard Mayo talking about the guys he looks up to over there in Houston. D'Amico Ryans, Nick Caserio. It's around here when Caserio was here. The Houston Texans, whatever you think about them, had a bad team and made them into a good team in the span of 1 year. And that was with two draft picks in the top three, a quarterback and the edge rusher, who we'll get to when we do the entire Houston Texans breakdown in their scouting report at 4:30, which I'm looking forward to. But this is the comp. I think when people talked about Patriots drafting a quarterback and the arguments were about, well, you shouldn't draft a quarterback, you should draft something else, you should build up an offense, you should do something before you just airdrop a QB into this offense because this offense is so bad. And people would always come back. Jones and I argued about this all the time. People would come back and say, well, what about the Houston Texans? Look at the Houston Texans. They had a bad team with Davis Mills and an offense that didn't work, and Nico Collins wasn't anything special. And, you know, you did have Laremy Tunsil, who's a better offensive lineman than anybody on the Patriots here, but outside of him, it wasn't like the Texans were some great spot that were just a quarterback away from competing. People didn't talk about him like that. I didn't think of him like that. Nobody thought of him like that. C.J. Stroud changed everything. And is Drake May the kind of guy who can go in there and change everything? Now, when you look up to someone like the Nick Caserio, I think this past offseason was the Houston Texans was a tour de force. They brought in a 1,000-yard receiver. They brought in a 1,000-yard rusher. They brought in an edge rusher who had 10-plus sacks last year. I thought they had one of the best NFL offseasons I can remember in the last 10 years. I think the Houston Texans just had. And that's after building this thing up from nothing. I mean, they were a last-place team. And they brought in a new coach who was a defensive-minded head coach. They brought in a rookie quarterback who was extremely inexperienced at Ohio State and barely played, and people thought was going to be too raw of a prospect, unlike that can't-miss Bryce Young over at Alabama, which in retrospect is funny to think about now. And now look at them. They're 4-1. They were 10-7 last year. They got smoked in the playoffs. Fine. A rookie in the playoffs. I'm not going to beat them up too much. But they're off to a good start again this year with a great offseason, and it seems like everything's coming up Houston. Can the Patriots, with Drake May, become or even surpass maybe the Houston Texans in a year's time?
A year from now. Not this
year. I mean, the
year.
Clock starts now, right? Drake May's playing. Clock starts now.
Oh, okay. I'm fine with it. I think you will be in the conversation of competitive AFC teams a year from now.
Not this year.
Not at all. The roster's just not good enough. The talent's just not there. But the opportunities are going to be there. You talk about offseason and nailing the hell out of an offseason. I think you're going to have an opportunity. Now, you're going to have to probably nail the hell out of the offseason. And that's putting some faith in. He's talking about Nick Caserio. You need to put some faith in Elliott Wolf and the decisions that will be made by this organization. I would caution people. Obviously, Houston bottomed out worse, than you did, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember how dysfunctional they were with Jack Easterby and everything that was going on with him being involved with that organization, if you remember how quickly they went from MVP caliber quarterback Deshaun Watson,
yep,
defensive player of the year caliber pass rusher J.J. Watt,
mm-hmm,
Hall of Fame wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins, and like then all of a sudden you're a Texans fan and you're like, wait, what happened? I don't have a jersey to buy. I'm not proud of my team in any way. I'm kind of embarrassed by what's going on. There was talk they were going to hire, who's the backup quarterback who had never coached, and they were going to make him the head coach because he was like a Bible guy, and they believed the Bible was running the organization.
Oh, yeah, because of the McNair
McCown,
family.
McNown, one of those.
Luke McCown?
One of those guys.
Or Josh McCown?
Josh McCown.
Yeah.
And people thought it was because he was a religious guy.
Easterby was there. Remember, Easterby was running
the show. That's
what I
mean. People were wondering if it was too I don't know if this is offensive, like too Christian. Like, was it being run based on Christian values and people that believed in the Bible and church and not like as a business and as a football team and doing? And then all of a sudden, boom, you turn a corner and you're reaping the benefits of some of those assets that you collected in the Deshaun Watson trade, and you've made some good moves and all of that. But I have always believed the quarterback changes everything. I thought Baker Mayfield turned the Browns around, mm-hmm, for a short period
he
of
did.
Time.
He did. They went from 0 wins to 7 wins that season.
Like,
yeah.
People always look at these single-win teams. Like, Belichick sent Jamie Collins to Siberia. That's Cleveland. And when Garoppolo was here, people were always like, why would Garoppolo want to go to Cleveland? Because if Garoppolo's as good as he thinks he is, he'll change it. He'll turn it around quickly. And I believe Drake May believes in himself at that level. I think if you got Drake May to just be 100% the cocky kid who probably talks smack with his brothers in the basement, I think he believes he is him. He is that guy. He is the C.J. Stroud that can turn everything around, and people will want to play with me, and I'm going to make plays, and we're going to bring modern, fun football to New England. And if he is that, then you are going to turn a corner. Almost regardless, if he's that, that'll actually give you a little allowance to make a couple mistakes. Maybe not have to hit all $130 million worth of free agent spending. Maybe not have to hit your first four draft picks next year.
But you're going to have to spend. You're going to have to go out and do it.
Well, they have to spend by rule.
Well, we got our quarterback.
Well, no, but they have to spend by rule, or they're going to be penalized for whatever the penalty. I don't even know.
And not just getting your own, not just re-signing your own guys. I mean, like you have to get marquee talent. You have to go out and
who's left to re-sign? I don't even know how much is left to re-sign.
Not much.
There's literally nothing. So they're going to have to go out and spend money, and they're going to have to go out and make some high draft picks. But if Drake May is who I think he is, you have begun the process on this week. This week in the Lord's year 2024, you have begun the process towards success, towards turning the corner, towards the rebuild. And maybe we'll do what Houston does. Maybe we'll look back and say, I know Bill petered out, but he did give you Barmore. Did you hear Mayo talking about he was more optimistic today
about
than he
Barmore
was?
Coming back? Yeah.
Yes. Bill gave
and
you Barmore.
Barmore tweeted something, too.
Yeah. He gave you Stevenson. Right. Maybe Bill gave you a couple of pieces that we'll be looking back on as the Nico Collins or the Laremy Tunsil, the Mike Onwenu. Maybe you go, now that he's got a quarterback and we've filled in a little bit of the rest of the line, Bill gave you a few little things that are sort of like the Houston roots of success. But you need the big kahuna. You need the main piece, right? Like this is like a puzzle where you have little pieces.
Yeah.
And then right in the center is a piece that you're like, where is it? Where the hell is this one piece? And maybe you have him.
Big Drake May-sized piece.
Yep.
Gross. John is in the car. Go ahead, John.
You always take it a weird place.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm so excited we get Drake May. It's like week one again. We're starting over. It's fresh. It's like we haven't, like, they never lost three games. They didn't have, like, you know, no offensive game plan whatsoever and just do whatever. It's like a fresh start. We're going to give game balls out next week or this week when they win to everybody. It's great.
I can't tell if you're being sarcastic.
I feel sarcasm here.
I'm hearing some sarcasm. Am I sensing that right, or are you being earnest here, John?
No, it's super sarcasm.
Okay,
because you know what?
Stick it.
I hope Drake May goes out there, and I hope he's really good. I hope he's great. I hope he does a great job. It's entirely possible that Drake May could go out there and look good, and the team still looks like a bag of crap.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, this is why most of the people wanted to see Drake May from week one, was because we were accepting that this team is a bag of crap, and that even if you put Drake May out there, they probably aren't going to win more than five games. And we're fine with that. But what we're not fine with is with this whole rigmarole of the plan. Like, I think Jerod Mayo realized that there was no singular plan this week. He realized that there was about 900 different plans because it's front office by committee, and ultimately it doesn't matter whose plan or if it's his plan. It's Bob Kraft and what he wants, and that's what's going to happen because it was clear when all the reporters like, oh, here comes Rap Sheet, here comes Albert Breer, here comes all the Stacey James finally printed things, like this is how it's going to go. Oh, we're so excited. It's refreshed energy. Like, yay. It's so good. Like, nah, not buying it.
All right. Thanks for the call, John. Good call.
The energy, he's wearing orange.
Yeah.
He's got orange underwear on, orange socks, orange shorts, the whole damn thing. Because that energy was phenomenal. I was with
you. It was all sarcastic, but it was good energy.
But it's energy. It's sarcastic energy. And I do, he said.
Be the name of the show, Sarcastic Energy in the Afternoon.
I don't hate it.
It's not
better
a bad
than
one.
The afternoon show.
It's better than that. Yeah.
He's referencing. Clearly, he believes there's dysfunction in the front office and in the team still.
Mm-hmm.
Houston was the most dysfunctional franchise in football. If we want to continue the comparisons, actually, maybe I can't say most. Washington might have been the most dysfunctional.
I would say Washington was worse, yeah.
Houston was a top
Houston
five dysfunctional team.
Sure.
With Jack Easterby, Bill O'Brien, the other GM, was it Rick Smith?
Yeah.
Didn't he get, like, cancer and they kind of forced him out? Or his wife got cancer
Something
and they forced him
like
out?
That happened,
there was
yeah.
a weird story there.
O'Brien got fired. They brought in Cornell, remember? Like, he was the interim coach.
They were dysfunctional at the ownership level, the GM level, the president level, the coach level. Remember that they went.
They had four coaches in 4 years.
Yeah, because they hired the David Culley guy.
David Culley.
Then Lovie Smith with the beard, like Santa Claus, to come in there. And then he gave them the greatest gift ever because he won that game late in the year. Mm-hmm. They didn't get the number one pick. They were going to take Bryce Young. And now they have the best young quarterback in football in C.J. Stroud.
They owe it all to Lovie.
Lovie. Santa Claus Lovie.
Yeah, 100%. And you're right. I mean, that was a team that was four wins. You could count on maybe four wins for about three straight years after they made a couple of playoff appearances. With O'Brien towards the end there and Deshaun Watson, like, he got them. They didn't do much, but he got Watson and those guys to the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
O'Brien did. And then it bailed out there in 2020. They were a four-win team for 3 years and a three-win team, you're right, in that Lovie Smith season. And then, boom, the right quarterback, and all of a sudden you got a whole different story going on there. That was a team going nowhere. That was a team really going nowhere. And the probably in a lot of ways, I think, people expecting them to just be in the basement for years and years and years. Patriots have had two, maybe three pretty dysfunctional years. I'm not going to go back to the first one because they were a playoff team with a Pro Bowl, in quotes, quarterback, and things went horribly off the rails after that. And this season so far has started off as more of the same of that. I mean, like, the Patriots aren't as dysfunctional as I'd say the Texans were over that 3 year stretch, but they've also blown out their legendary coach. It was also the GM. They brought in all these new people who aren't really new people because they were already here and re-signed all their own guy. Like, they've gone about it very differently than Houston did, I think, when Houston started their big renaissance. Like, I think there was a very different, from the top, you know, from ownership, I think there was a different directive that went out to the Patriots than what you saw in Houston.
And when they had success, it was year three of Caserio. I just looked it up. He got there in 21. So 21, 22, 23, they find success. Now 24, they're kind of riding that success and adding on to it. So 2 years Caserio had sort of to start the process of his rebuild or put his stamp. And I know it was craziness because Deshaun Watson was one of the weirdest situations in the history of the game that he had to deal with. But I would that's where I would just say the dysfunction you're seeing from the Patriots, is it dysfunction or is it just the normal course of events when you have a full organizational turnover?
Right.
You know, like, don't some people have to kind of rise to the top? And then Gerard Mayo said it. Remember when he introduced his coaching staff and he's like, I'm sure some of these guys won't be here next year. You know, that's how it works. You bring guys in and they don't know. Like, he was kind of acknowledging that transitions of power take some time, and you're not going to hit 100.
Right.
You're not going to hit 100% on all your hires. So is it dysfunctional? That seems like a strong description. But it'll be less dysfunctional if on Sunday I get my way and you go, oh, my God, Drake May is so good.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to erase everything. By the way, to the texter says, oh, by the way, dummy, Texans didn't get waxed in the playoffs to beat the Browns in round one. How'd they do in the next round? That's what I was talking about. The game where they lost by four touchdowns to the Baltimore Ravens, who absolutely had C.J. Stroud in the blender. That's what I meant. I mean, yeah, they beat Joe Flacco. That was a nice win. But when they got to a real team, they got their asses kicked, is the point I was trying to make. They still made it to the playoffs, and they won a round, and I was using that all to pump them up and talk about how good they were. And that wasn't really up for debate that they got smoked in that Baltimore game, because they did. That's
dummy.
617-779-7937. Mason in Marshfield. Go ahead.
Hey, I think Drake May should not be starting for this Sunday.
Why not?
I don't think he should be starting because, you know, it's kind of like Mac Jones. Mac Jones, they pushed him, they rushed him too early, and look where he's now. He's in Jacksonville doing nothing.
Yeah, but Mac Jones' rookie year was a Pro Bowler, and they made the playoffs, Mason.
Yeah, but I think we need to give Drake May a couple years.
No.
What are you, Orlovsky?
Yeah, Mason Orlovsky over there. A couple years? He's going to sit on the bench for a couple years? You know that you have to make a decision on whether you want to extend them like 2 years from now, right? Like, you're going to have to start thinking about that, and I think you're probably better off seeing what he looks like before you just drop him in there. And the Mac Jones analogy, for many, many reasons, I don't think is a good one. Number one, because I think May's a very different player from him. He has a very different personality from Mac Jones. And number two, Mac Jones's rookie year was the pinnacle probably of his career. That was the top. That was as good as his career is going to get was that first year. They didn't rush him out there. His rookie year was his best season by far. The other ones all combined weren't as good as his rookie year. If you took each game and did that, I mean, he was a basket case after that. So it wasn't about him getting rushed out there. That's not what ruined him, I don't think. No one thinks that. It was the whole changing of the offensive coordinators and his attitude and really, I think, just a lot of the factors like that. But no, it's not like Mac Jones at all.
No, it isn't. And you know what just hit me? Remember when people were telling us, and I don't know if you remember this, but specifically people told me the reason that Drake May wasn't going to play as compared to why Mac Jones did play is the quality of the guy he was competing with.
Mm-hmm.
That Cam Newton was toast and wasn't good anymore, and Jacoby Brissett was a better quarterback at this point. Remember that?
Yep.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
That was absolutely asinine logic, and there was no fact to it. There's no truth to it. That was people just saying, getting to the end point and then reverse engineering it. Well, we need Jacoby Brissett to start, so how can I explain why he's starting? Oh, well, he's better at this point in his career. And
spin
he's
zone.
It was spin zoning without spin the freaking audio, without still using our lead and our imaging. Like, that was that. I find that more annoying in retrospect. Don't you-know-what on me and tell me it's raining. You were you-know-whatting on me.
Yeah,
Ken told me I can't say that anymore.
Can't say you-know-whatting?
Yeah.
It's too bad. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we'll say rest in peace to the plan. The plan with Drake May. We will, what, we're not doing that? Okay, never mind.
Well, I want to work on it a little more.
All right, fine. We'll discuss that. And also, Alex Van Pelt. We'll basically do everything but Drake May here, all right? We'll do everything but Drake May. Can the defense bounce back, the rest of the offense around May? We know what this Drake May situation is. Let's talk about the rest of the team right after Stiz tells you what's trending.